In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. As I'm sure all of you know, this is going to be a bit of a longer day for us, so my first instruction as I was prepping my sermon this week from my wife was, make it short. We'll see. It's safe this time. I told her I was going to say that. I wrote it right down in my notes. That this is really a passage here from the Gospel according to Mark that should cut us right to the depth of our soul. It should be a passage that brings us to a place of asking, how strong is my faith? And that can happen just in the first two verses that we have. We could spend our lives just on those two verses. It says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. So we're setting the context and saying, the time is fulfilled. Now to us, that doesn't necessarily say a lot. But if you are a Jewish person, a chosen person of God, who has for generation after generation after generation heard the teachings of the prophets and the constant reminder that this Messiah, the anointed one, was going to come and release you and save you from your struggles, you would begin to hear that Jesus is saying as the teacher, the time is fulfilled. That's the time Jesus is speaking of. Jesus is standing before them and proclaiming that he is the Messiah. He is the one they have waited for so long. And when we understand that, the rest of the passage starts to come into focus a little better. But he is saying very clearly, the time is fulfilled. The time of waiting, the time that we hear about from the teaching of the prophets, Jesus saying, it is now and it is I. And then he says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, for someone who's been waiting for the kingdom, that is indeed good news, amen? And he's saying, it's near. The kingdom's near. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to show you, God incarnate, all those wonderful works of God that we've read about, all the wonderful works of God that the prophet spoke of, and all the wonderful works of God that are to come begins now. Begins now. What a glorious moment that must have been for the people that were listening, the ones who had ears to hear, so to speak. What an incredible day that must have been for them. Now, granted, we come to the understanding that Jesus didn't look the way they expected him to look, did he? They wanted a warrior, because they couldn't get their minds beyond the understanding of the worldly oppression they were experiencing. They wanted a warrior who was going to come in and start a revolution and turn it all upside down so that they would be able to be under the rule of God. But that isn't what happened. All the other things that the prophet spoke of happened, but they didn't get the Messiah they were looking for. So some still wait. To this day, some still wait. But Jesus still began a revolution at that time. And the revolution continues. And it doesn't look the way we want it to still on a daily basis, does it? And he says this good news. Well, what is this good news he speaks of? Well, what did the prophet Isaiah say it was? Chapter 61, verse 1. Speaking on behalf of the one who will come that is anointed, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. The good news is the good news of the deliverance of Jesus Christ that is found when we proclaim him as our Lord and Savior, when we do exactly as he says, when we repent and believe in this good news, we find freedom. Amen? Now, we know this to be true, don't we? We have experienced it in many ways in our lives. But the disciples that he called this day in this passage, they somehow knew it immediately. Because he says, as he passed through and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen, Jesus said to them, "Follow me." That in itself was a very unusual moment. Jesus, as a teacher, as a rabbi, would have just been present, and people would have come and they would have said, "Can I sit at your feet?" This rabbi's already turning things upside down, and he's going, "Come with me. Come with me." And he didn't go looking for the learned, perceived learned. He went to the men that were fishing. And he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," which I suspect was immediately a confusing thing. Fish for people? Well, that tells us something about this good news, doesn't it? The good news that he is bringing is not just for the people who will immediately hear and understand it because they understood all of what the prophets wrote, or at least had heard it, although undoubtedly these men had. It was about gathering up God's people. And he started by gathering people who understand what it means to gather. And he called them. And the most amazing thing happens. "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And they went a little farther. And he sees James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, I love the fact Mark likes to use this term immediately. Immediately. And as we heard earlier, they just got up and they left. They didn't worry about all the little things of their life. They didn't worry about how their loose ends would be tied up. They didn't even worry about what others were going to think of them when they got up at that moment to follow Jesus as a disciple. They didn't sit back and say, "Well, we can do that, but what are the other fishermen going to think of us? They're probably going to think we're crazy." Zebedee's sons left him in the boat working on the nets. I don't know if y'all ever worked in a family business, but just walking away, not an easy thing to do, because you just walked away from a lot. Sunday dinner gets a little weird when you do that, I promise you, especially when you walk away to go to seminary. But the fact of the matter is, they went and they followed, because the time they had been waiting for, the time in which the prophets spoke of, had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It was time to move. And they did. And here we are, not unlike the Jewish people at the time, generation after generation after generation of Christians have been waiting, not for the Messiah to come, but for the Messiah to return. Amen? And I wonder, do we really understand what happened this day that we hear about in Mark? We can wait for him to return, but I'm afraid that, like many things that take too long, we forget. I mean, I can order my food at a fast food restaurant at the little window and get up to the window where they hand it to you, and I may not even yet remember what I ordered. We don't hold on to information long. It's hard for us to stay motivated. Just like it was for those who listened to the teachings of the prophets generation after generation, we Christians have listened for generation after generation. And I think, unfortunately, we have set our sights on his return and have maybe forgotten that we are still in the midst of the revolution. Amen? See, all that we need and all that God needed us to have has been given. All that we are to understand that he is here and present with us came through the very presence of the incarnate God, Jesus Christ. The opportunity to move in the power of the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church, and the time to do that is now. Amen? If I could sit here and with definite evidence tell you that Jesus is coming back next Saturday, I suspect Monday through Friday for you and me will look very different, wouldn't it? We'd be thinking, maybe I should do something now. Brothers and sisters, that is the time we live in. That is the time in which Paul lived in with his urgency to the church. And brothers and sisters, the urgency is still now. I know it's been generations, but it hasn't changed. The urgency, the opportunity, the call is the same. Jesus has come, broken in, begun the process. We have been set free. We have been released through the power of his body and blood, and the time to move in it is now, just as it always has been since he began his ministry in Galilee. Immediately, it is time, because I think we sometimes miss in our waiting exactly what it is we are called to. We are not called to continue waiting. God did not simply provide deliverance so that we could hold it until our life here ended and then we would cash it in for eternity. He offers all of these things to us so that we can live as people who have been delivered and be fishers of men and women, or women and men. You know what I mean. So we can do that now. By his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have not just been delivered, we have been invited to participate in the sharing of this good news. Invited and empowered by God to do that work of sharing the good news and helping in the process of gathering his people. And we need to remember that we are not necessarily the fishermen, we're more like the net. We are the tool that the master fisherman uses to gather the others. It's what he'll do through us, not what we're able to do on our own, that will make the difference, that will bring people to come to know him. It is this hope that we have in a world that is losing hope. It is the strength that we have in a world that is hard to find strength. It is the love and the care for our brothers and sisters that we share that is not necessarily available in other portions of our world. It is the opportunity to stand before all the struggles that we see and look to those who are struggling and say, there is hope, and it's now. This Jesus that we know, this Jesus has empowered this church through example. God has moved us by his Holy Spirit to become useful to him, so that we can go and capture the hearts of others simply by making ourselves available to God so that he can work through us. And I know what you're thinking. I really don't know what to do. I don't really know how to do that. And I would say that is exactly the point. If you think you can do this work, if you think you have the power to gain one more for Jesus, don't. If you think that you can make yourself available to God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will use you to gain one more, do that. And if you think he's going to give you all the details of what it's going to look like and how it's going to work out, I've never seen that happen in my life yet. Maybe he does that for others. I would love for that to happen, because that would make it easier, wouldn't it? Then I could step out and go, yes, God told me exactly what I'm going to do and what I'm going to say and when I'm going to do it. That's not how it works, is it? You know as well as I do. You just went down to the store or had some encounter you didn't even know was going to happen. And you walked away and you went, whoa, there was God. And the things that came out of my mouth, I don't even know where they came from. That's how it really works. But we're afraid of that. And I'd say our example today comes from these fishermen who, when Jesus called them and said, follow me, they immediately left. They didn't even know how they were going to get their next meal. They left their job. They didn't even know geographically where they were even going. I would like to have been along in the conversation. We're following him, but where are we going? I think we might spend too much time wondering where we're going. And the call is to follow. It's uncomfortable to follow someone or to go a direction when you have no idea where it's going, isn't it? But that is where we discover the fullness of the glory of God. When we can say, I will follow, and we follow immediately. The people of this time lived in the hope of a coming Messiah. And they had a bunch of rules to follow in the process. The church, after many generations, has forgotten. The Messiah has come. We're not waiting for him to come again. We just know he will. There's nothing more for us to wait for. The time in which we can move by the power of God is immediately. Immediately we can move with God by his grace. He has asked us to and allows us to and empowers us to. Jesus has called. How strong is our faith? Jesus has said, follow me. Is our faith strong enough to immediately follow him? Amen.